I don't know what your Christmas plans hold. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're going to be dealing with today, personally. But my guess is that there's probably going to be some challenges that you're going to have to deal with. Things not falling into place. This is what this series is that we've been looking at, and this whole idea of God with us is what really makes all the difference. It's not just a slogan. It's not just something that we say because it's Christmas. This is like the real, this is the crux of everything that we believe in, everything that gives our lives strength. And I don't know what the challenges are that you are going to deal with. Maybe it's somebody that's going to push your buttons. I know that's already happened to me today. Has that happened to anybody today? Yeah, very good. All right. Maybe I'm the one to push your buttons and no. Maybe it's just people that don't follow through, or maybe it's a lack of patience that you have in your life. Maybe it's a lack of finances. Whatever the struggle is, the struggle's real. Whatever the issues are that you might face personally, maybe it's that you might just feel alone during this time of the year. Statistics tell us that 65% of people feel especially isolated and alone during the holiday season, during Christmas. So if that's you, I'm glad that you made the effort to be here. I'm glad that you made the effort to connect and to spend time, not just with God, but with us, because that's important to spend our time together. But even more important than that, this message of Christmas is really important. And I want to read what the scripture we've been reading this whole time out of this series. It's found in Matthew chapter 1. But here's what it says. This is a Christmas story. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly, and as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 21, here's what it says. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, a virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him. And this is where the whole point of what we're looking at rests on this. We will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Look, so the message of Christmas is, you're not alone. That's an important message to hear. You personally are not alone, no matter what it is that you're facing. God is present with you in everything that you do. There is nothing that you can go through alone. Absolutely nothing. Now, whatever the struggle is that you're dealing with personally, with family or with work, or with God is with you in it. Another thing, when we get that, when we understand that God's with us, that changes how we live. It changes our perspective on life. The message of Christmas is not just that you're not alone, it's also the message that you are loved. You personally are loved. Now here's the thing. God is with you because you are loved. Please don't lose that. Because if you just look at it and go, okay, God loves me, oh great. If there's no substance to God loving you, God is doing something by being with you. And if you go on the opposite and say, okay, God's with me, but you're detached from God's love, then it really doesn't matter who's with you. Both of those things have to really fit together in our lives. God is with us because he loves us. And God came to deal with a sin problem in our life. So even though God is with you, you can write this in on your notes if you want to. Even though God is with you, there will still be seasons that test your faith. You may not like that. I don't like that. But God provides that for us. Not because God wants to be difficult. The seasons that are difficult actually grow us. These times, they make us stronger. They teach us to trust God. And one of the things that we discussed a couple of weeks ago that's really important is we enjoy God on the mountains. When everything is hunky-dory, when everything is going great, when everything's falling into place, we love experiencing God. We really enjoy God when we're on a mountain experience. But we get to know God intimately in the valleys. In the difficult times of life, when times are difficult, when times are obscure and they're bleak and they don't make sense, that is where we really get to know God intimately. Valleys have great value in our lives. Sometimes God may seem distant. God may seem preoccupied. I think this is where Joseph and Mary find themselves in the Christmas story. They've been isolated. They've been put away. God has sent them to a foreign land so that to protect Jesus, because the king is out to kill the family as well as Jesus. And they find themselves in this foreign land. Some commentaries, some scholars say that the family was gone for probably 2 years, that they were away from their homeland. I don't know about you, but most parents have made this statement, I just need some peace and quiet. I mean, I would imagine even Jesus' parents made that statement. I just need some peace and quiet in our lives. Because there's so much noise, especially when you have kids, and there's so much fussing and there's so much anxiety that's attached to that. Until there is no noise, until there is no activity, until our kids grow up and they move away or they find their own lives. And then as parents, you just wish that there was some noise around. There's a small room in Minnesota in the Orfield Labs. It's called an anaconic chamber, which I know they have more than just one. But in Minnesota, this room, this anaconic chamber, blocks out 99% of all external sound. And so you go in, and this is a room where they can test sound, they can test hearing, and all that kind of stuff. Blocks out 99% of the external noise. The problem is that most people cannot be in the chamber for more than 45 minutes without starting to go crazy, because the silence starts messing with their minds. Studies suggest that we don't deal well with silence. In fact, a lot of people seek out noise devices like headphones and music and all kinds of instruments to drown out the silence in their lives. It's things like thoughts that they don't want to deal with, fears that we want to avoid, feelings that we don't like, the emptiness that we're forced to struggle with. And we need headphones with music, or we need something, and it seems like we're always filling our heads with noise to drown out the silence, and we don't like to be alone in that. I don't know if you've ever had times when God is silent. I would imagine we all have, personally. David writes this in Psalms 83. He says, God, don't shut me out. Don't give me the silent treatment, oh God. I don't know if God's ever given you the silent treatment, but it's real. It's not that God does that intentionally, I mean, for a long period of time, but he does allow us to go through seasons where he doesn't speak, where we are in silence, and it forces us to trust him. And I don't know if you've ever gone through those times. You pray, and there's no answer. You hear nothing from God. Mother Teresa, in her final years, says that she spent, I think it was the last 10 years of her life, not hearing anything from God. See, there's times and there's seasons when you go through that really challenge us because God is silent. Psalms 28 says, I pray, O Lord, my rock, do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. And I think one of the things you hear in that statement is just how desperately we need God's voice in our life. Something we need to know is this: because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. Just because God is silent in your life, because you're going through a season of silence, does not mean that God is absent. Sometimes the most difficult response from God is when he says nothing at all. I would imagine this is what Joseph and Mary had to deal with when they waited 2 years, and they said, God told them, stay here until I tell you to leave. They didn't know how long they were going to be here. They didn't know how long they were going to be isolated in this foreign land, and yet they stayed for 2 years until God said, hey, it's time to go. I don't know if God's ever been silent while you're waiting for an answer. There's a man in the Old Testament, his name was Job, and that's exactly what he had to go through. He needed to hear from God. He wanted to hear from God. He was going through some extreme challenges in his life, and he wanted to understand why God was taking him through these challenges. Why was he suffering? In fact, Job 31, he says this. This is Job talking. He says, let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser write out the charges against me. Just to make that clear, he's saying, hey, I don't know what I've done, but let the one who is causing all this suffering to happen around me and to happen to me, let them say what's going on in my life. Finally, after all the questions that Job has, a voice comes out of a storm and God speaks. And it's interesting because God asked Job, where was he when God began creation? God asked Job this simple question. Job, where were you when I was creating everything that exists? What had Job done to call the universe into being? Nothing. What had Job done to create his own life or make possible the existence of his possessions or his children or his health? All the things that were taken from him and all the things that he was suffering, God says, where were you when all of these things were created? And what part did you play in any of them? And the answer was he played no part in any of the gifts that he had in his life. Just like us, we don't play any part in all of the blessings that God gives us. But when those things are missing, we want to know why. We expect an answer. You might expect God to have an answer for all the questions from Job, and I'm sure that's what he wanted. But that's not what God did. In fact, God answered Job's questions with his own set of questions. In fact, four chapters of them. Just to remind Job that he was questioning Almighty God. And God didn't explain. He didn't reveal his master plan to Job. Instead, what God did is he revealed himself. And in God's presence, Job's questions weren't answered. They simply disappeared. In fact, they simply dissolved. When it comes to God being silent, we have to be careful. Because we can't say that God is silent when we're not listening. We can't say, hey, God, why aren't you speaking when we're not the ones that are listening or tapped into hearing him? We can't say that God is silent when our Bibles are closed because God uses his word to speak to us. We can't say that God is silent when we're not doing what God's already asked us to do, that we fail to do, or we don't want to do. We can't say, hey, God is silent when we're doing all the talking and not listening. I'll tell you another reason. We can't say that God is silent when we're angry with God, much like Job was. It's not that God can't handle your anger. He can. But what happens is our anger makes it difficult for us to hear what God is saying. Our attitude, our disposition, our emotion cuts us out from even hearing God's voice. It's not that God can't handle it. It's that we can't handle it. Our anger becomes questions accusing God of what we perceive to be injustice. And that's what Job had done. Job 40, here's what it says. Then the Lord said to Job, "Do you still want to argue with the Almighty? Are you God's critic? Do you have all the answers?" Then Job replied to the Lord, "I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand. I have said too much already. I have nothing more to say." I would say this. A part of the difficulty in the silence that we have in our lives is waiting on God. Most of us are so impatient that we have the difficulty is not just the silence, it is expecting something to happen when we want it to happen. We don't trust God's timing, and a big part of that is waiting on God. You might be praying, you might be in this season where you're praying or believing for God to do something, and you're in this waiting room, you're in this waiting process. Maybe you need, your finances have challenges, or you're going through health issues, or relationship issues. Maybe you are waiting to conceive, and you're just waiting. Maybe you're waiting on a job, or you're waiting to get married, or you're waiting for a child to find their way back home. So much of our lives is spent waiting. We're waiting for things that we so desperately want and need in our life. Three things to remember when you're waiting on God. This will go really quickly, but three things. With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season. If you're waiting on God, this is not a wasted season in your life. Waiting on God does not mean that God is not active, but he is still working in your life. He's still working in your circumstances. He's still working in your family. You may not see him. You might not perceive it. You might not understand what he's doing. But just because you're in a waiting season where you don't hear from God does not mean it's a wasted season. Waiting usually means that God is doing something much deeper in your life. We like to focus. We want God to do things for us. We want God to fix things in our life. And God's design, his desire, more than fixing the things in our lives, is to fix us. Internally, what's going on with us? He's probably working character in your life when it's silent. Patience, loyalty, courage. And this is important. God's timing teaches us to trust God like none other. Like I said, we get so impatient. Our timing is so important. We think, man, this has to happen in just this time. And God doesn't seem to really work off our timetable. God's timing teaches us to trust God. Another thing to remember when we're waiting on God is God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. I don't know. I have great news for you if you're not aware of this, and that is that God absolutely hears your prayers. He hears exactly what you're saying. Everything that you're going through, there is nothing that is obscure to Him. He is completely aware of all that's going on in your life, and He hears every one of your prayers. In fact, 1 John 5:14 says this, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked Him for." See, God promises that if we call out to Him, He's going to answer. Delays, what they do is they test our faith and confidence in God. They do make us stronger. We think that we need an answer from God, but really what we need is the presence of God. You might really feel like, you know what, God has been so quiet, and what I desperately need is this thing from God. I need Him to come through in this thing. But really what we desperately need is God's presence in our lives more than His blessings in our lives. Sometimes the answers that we seek from God is just a poor substitute for what God really desires. He wants to be with you. He wants to be present. You know, we live in a world where fathers are... There are so many absent fathers. We live in a world where fathers leave their families, where they are not present with their families. And here you have a Heavenly Father that will never leave you. He is present and wants to be present with you because God's presence gives you strength. God has always wanted to be with you. Always wanted to be with you personally. With you is about relationship. With you means that you're never alone. With you means you have no reason to be afraid. Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." And listen, you might be in a season where you are waiting on God and God is silent. God may be silent, but He's present. I would encourage you to keep talking to Him. I would encourage you to keep trusting Him. Why did God come to be with you? Why do we have this Christmas holiday season? As great as it's going to be today, as you're going to spend time with family, and you're going to open gifts, and you're going to open presents and everything, why are we celebrating? Why is this so important? Because God is with you. Because God loves you. When you get that, listen, when you get that, your whole life changes. Just a couple of points I want to make in closing this out is this. God may wait, but He's never late. You might be in a process of waiting on God, and God may be waiting, but God is, just because you're waiting does not mean that God is late. God is active, and He's got a plan for everything that you're going through. And if I could encourage you to do anything, if you're in that season where you're waiting on God, this is a great opportunity just to relax and to say, God, I'm not in control of the outcome. All I can do is trust You. Let that be a focus in your life. Maybe you're waiting on a marriage to be healed, or maybe you're waiting on finances, or maybe you're waiting on something in your life, something huge, but it's not coming together. This is a great opportunity to say, God, I believe and trust that You're going to make this work, and I'm going to wait on You and with You. Another point is this. The moment you call out to Jesus, everything changes. Maybe not around you, but in you. And that is what's most important. We want things to change around us. God wants to change what's going on within us. He wants to remove the fear. He wants to remove your anxiety. Isaiah 41 says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." And what that's saying is this. God wants to give you new strength for your life. He wants to give you new perspective. God wants to give you a new purpose for living. He wants to give you new endurance for the journey with Him. You don't have to carry your anxiety today. You don't have to carry the fear. You don't have to be preoccupied with busyness. You don't have to drown out the noise or the lack of noise in the silence. You don't have to be afraid of the challenges that come with silence. You don't have to even fear being alone, because the truth is, Christmas reminds you that God is with you because He loves you. Do me a favor and close your eyes if you would. There can be great comfort in waiting when we trust God. And I would just appreciate it if you would close your eyes. This isn't a time for anybody to look around. It's a personal time between you and God. And here's what I want to ask. There might be some today that have never entered into a relationship with Jesus. You know about Him. You've seen the picture of Him in a manger. You've even seen a picture of Him on a cross. But you've never entered into a relationship. You've never really asked Him to come and to forgive your sins, to give you a fresh start. That's why Jesus came. And if you want to begin that relationship, man, today is a perfect day, and all you have to do is tell Him, say, God, I want to begin that relationship. I want to receive forgiveness. I want a fresh start. There's no magic words. You don't have to say it in a very special way. You don't have to be profound saying it. You just have to say it honestly. God's listening. Maybe you are carrying anxiety, or maybe you're carrying issues. Maybe you're waiting on an answer from God and that's just silent. And you need God's presence. Let's ask Him for that today, so that we do not miss in all of the gifts that we get and all the presence that we receive, that we do not miss His presence in our lives. Father, we love You so much. And as we celebrate this sacred day, this joyful day where You've sent Your Son to be present with us. Father, I just lift to You every person that's here, those that want to begin a relationship with You, as they've asked, as You hear their words, as You hear their heart. Father, give them a clean slate. Father, wipe and remove the shame that they have carried. Father, give them a fresh start. And for those that are here, Father, that are carrying anxiety and carrying things, and life is just so busy that we tend to drown out the silence because we can't take this issue of being alone. We can't take the lack of answered questions. Father, today, Father, may we just be overwhelmed with Your presence, and may that remind us that with Your presence, there is joy and there is peace, that what You are doing within us is far greater than what You could do around us. Father, may every single one of us today experience Your peace, Your joy, Your love. May it not just be something, an emotion that we experience, but may it be something that we share with those that we do life with. May we distribute Your love as You have loved us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.